it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We got a beautiful show. We got some beautiful hosts. We got a beautiful game. We got taste. We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats. And we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests.
Hello and welcome to this episode of County Cricket Natters. My name's Annie Chave and I'm here with Dan Whiting and Harry Everett, with our very special guest, everyone's favourite WG, Mr. Rumble Pants. Hello, WG. Very pleased to have you along with us.
Hello. Very nice to be here. I've been looking forward to this. So thank you very much for having me on.
You're welcome. Anyway, we're all here to discuss the latest round of the decidedly damp and bloody freezing County Championship. So we're going to go to Division One first, and I'm going to put you across to Dan Whiting.
Yeah, well, unlike two of our correspondents, I actually made it to a game this week. But if you want to make good money, right, just look at next weekend's weather forecast and just bet on draws with your local favourite turf accountant. And it's easy money. And remember, kids, the more you bet, the more you win. Let's go to Surrey v Hampshire. First of all, the Oval. And Hampshire capitulated on the first morning. They were all out for 151. Dan Worrell, superb. Jordan Clark, superb. Kemar Roach, superb. Gus Atkinson, brilliant. Surrey's attack is relentless. Surrey were then on the brink at 44 for four, but a brilliant skipper's 100 from Rory Burns really led from the front. And then Jordan Clark came in. He also got 100, added the icing on the cake. Sunday, it pissed it down with rain. But the ground staff at the Oval need a lot of credit because they were mopping up whilst it was still raining. And they actually managed to get 32 overs on Sunday evening, which probably, you know, three Hampshire wickets fell in that time and probably made Surrey's life a lot easier on the Monday. They then bowled Hampshire out. There was five for Dan Worrell, what a competitor he is, and eight catches in the match for Ollie Pope, which sets a Surrey record, equaling Tony Locke's record. Rumble, you're a Surrey man. They're equal top of the table. Good few days at the office, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was there. I was there the first day, and I sort of commented at the time. I've very rarely seen a Surrey wicket quite as green as that, and I think a few people were taken aback by the decision at the toss for Surrey to have a bowl. But it quickly paid off. Dan Worrell, absolutely on the money, line and length, getting it in the corridor, and it was just metronomic bowling from him, he's got the figures to show for it. I think he goes under too many people's radar. Interestingly, I heard today that because he has now got British citizenship, he could in theory qualify for England next year. I mean, he's 32, pushing 33, so I don't suppose that's really realistic. But he showed his quality in this match, as did Jordan Clark backing him up. And Surrey's attack, absolutely on the money, and Hampshire were all at sea, really. It was a great first day. A lot of wickets fell. Very interesting cricket. And I'm always someone who slightly enjoys it when the bowlers are on top. And, you know, every ball is a new adventure.
Yeah, I think they make the best days of cricket. I think there should be something in it for both. I think when the bowl, it's more of a bowling wicket, say maybe 52-48, they make the most entertaining games of cricket. I thought what that wicket had, I thought it was a good cricket wicket because it showed that if you applied yourself, you could score runs as Burns and Jordan Clark did. But the catches were actually carrying into the slip court and Ollie Pope with eight of them. Harry Hampshire, they only got 1 point out of this. They had three, but they lost two due to an over rate. They were desperate to actually get ahead this morning. Surrey won by an innings and 11 runs. And they were desperate to bat again just so they could filth some overs in and actually get their over rate back up. But are they sort of on the decline, do you think?
Yeah, does their batting lineup look a little bit brittle? They're lacking a little bit of experience in there. James Vince, when he's in form, he's one of the best players in the country. We know that. I think when he's not getting big runs, Gubbins will bat time. Middleton's young, raw, good. But I don't think Alior is necessarily an opener. I personally would have Gubbins and Middleton opening. Maybe Vince three or four doesn't matter too much. But I'd have Alior in that middle order. I think that might help. Liam Dawson's a class act and Ben Brown, we know they're going to get runs. But if those two and Vince don't get runs, it looks like a little bit of trouble. They're bat deep. They're still a good side. But I think it just makes us realise how good Surrey are. I mean, the first thing is they didn't even bowl Cam Steele with all his wickets. Dan Lawrence, who opened the bowling against Somerset a couple of weeks ago, didn't need them to bowl. I think this just makes you realise how good Surrey are against potentially the second best team in the Championship. Surrey smashed them.
Yeah, and they're getting results, aren't they? You know, they're at the Oval, they're getting wickets, putting wickets out, they're getting results, and it's good to see.
What's interesting now is when you look at the table, I had a look at it earlier, and Hampshire are now eight. And I don't think anybody at the start of the season a few weeks ago would have said Hampshire would be eight. And I think Lancashire actually at the bottom. So a few topsy-turvy results, no doubt helped by the weather. But Hampshire not quite showing their quality at the moment. Mm.
No.
Well, Lancashire are only bottom. Lancashire and Kent are bottom because they've played a game less as well.
Do we think Abbas and Abbott aren't quite what they used to be as well? We talk about them being the best bowling partnership the last few years. Yes, Abbott got four in the first innings, but he did go for 104. He went three and a half and over. I mean, I think Abbas almost got found out. I remember James Rue just slog sweeping him into the Somerset stand. I mean, James Rue was on a few by then. That's a bit different. But I just think they're not quite the potent young, not as quick as they used to be, and maybe not quite as consistent.
I thought Abbas's pace was down. He was tidy. But he bowled a hell of a lot outside off stump and just allowed the batters to leave.
But that's
He just wasn't threatening.
That's exactly what I thought as well, Dan. There was a lot outside off stump that allowed Surrey to leave, and they kind of dragged him in. And whenever he went straight and tried to bowl onto the pads, and Burns in particular, kind of away to square leg and was just sort of milking the singles. So whatever they were trying wasn't working.
Yeah, Roland wasn't happy. Roland Butcher wasn't happy in the commentary box. He likes a bit of pace. Roland loves batter getting hit on the head, and he likes a bit of pace. And Roland wasn't happy. Anyway, let's make a trip up to Kidderminster, where unfortunately Annie and Harry didn't quite make it on Friday as they got stuck on the M5. Craig Overton, he was out with a shoulder injury. And,
very good.
Somerset, 309 for 9 declared. There was 92 there for Tom Banton. Worcestershire then responded with 451 for 9. It looked bloody freezing. The poor old Nikki Chowdhury in the commentary box. I worked with her at Kent last week and she had about 15 layers on. She said she was still cold. There was just enough time in the game for Somerset to respond then with 190 for 4. Not really a lot happened. It was nailed on for a draw due to the weather, although there was a caught and bowled. And if you see this on social media from Ben Gibbon of Andrew Umead, you've got to watch it because it is brilliant, yet so casual, and it's just wonderful. Anyway, the game finishes as a draw. Who do I ask? Because none of you three made it to the game.
I'm just going to do a bit of a shout out for my favorite player at the moment. Lavenby is he's just looking such fun. He's so beautiful and elegant, flourishing player. And it was just really, really lovely to watch him bat again. Really, really enjoying him playing so confidently. Just good on you, Lamonby, and keep going.
Yeah, yeah, I thought he's had a wonderful start to the season. Mm. And his mum's a good laugh as well. I had a few drinks with her in the Beehive in the Harleford Road.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't know if I told this on this podcast, but my fiance, whose in-laws' parents I'm currently at, using their office very kindly, they were neighbours with Jill and Glenn. So, yeah, my fiance could have babysat Tom Lamonby, was asked to babysit next door. And I think she turned it down. I've never forgiven her for it. But yeah, Tom, 3 50s already this season. That's 10 at the Oval. He's looking just like he's got so much time. He got that 100 at Worcester last a couple of years ago in the Bob Willis Trophy. Really slow first 50, and then just went through the gears. Andy Mead batted time, Matt Renshaw batted time, but Lammer's just even class, really. Worcestershire tried all sorts, didn't they? Even Cash Alley had a bowl. Matthew Waite bowled some bizarre fields. They did everything they could today, but I think there are more ball changes than wickets today.
Feel sorry for Holder. He must have been frozen.
you were so keen to see him, weren't you?
I was so keen to see him. I cannot tell you how disappointed we were on the side of the motorway. But hey, we won't go there because it's well documented.
Yeah. And Andy Mead's highest first class score, we should mention as well. Only just got over 50, but fair play to him. He looked good today.
Yeah. West Indians don't like the cold very much, as I know, because Roland has pumped the air conditioning up in our box up to 27, 28 degrees most of the weekend. Rumble, do you think Worcestershire can stay up?
I think they're doing rather better than people might have expected at the start of the season. I mean, they're sort of solidly there in the middle of the table at the moment. And you know, there are players of quality there. I mean, Holder will invariably add quite a lot in the dressing room, even if he's not quite adding it on the pitch at the moment. I was interested to see Roderick's 122, because he's a name that doesn't get mentioned very much.
Yeah.
It was an interesting match, wasn't it? Because, you know, you had in that second Somerset innings, you had eight bowlers bowl, which is not something you see all that often. Like everyone, I think I'm slightly concerned with what's going on with Worcestershire off the pitch at the moment. But to be fair to them, it doesn't seem to be impacting the performances on the pitch. They're solid. I don't think they're going to trouble the leaders, but they might well, you know, do better than people were expecting them to.
Yeah, no Nathan Smith for them this week. I don't know how long he's going to be out for, whether he was just rested, but I think he's a quality signing. He's quite quick, he's quite skiddy, and I think he'd have made a difference. Anyway,
yeah, Somerset might have dodged the bullet in not playing, dare we say.
Yeah, but same with Overton. If we don't have Overton playing, that makes a huge difference to us.
Haven't won since 2019 without Craig Overton in the County Championship. No.
Wow, wow. Anyway, that's the breakdown on that game.
That's two.
Let's go out to Chesterless Street and Durham hosted division-topping Essex. They got 338. Ackerman got 112. Ollie Robinson got 90-odd. You know, not that one. The one born in Margate. Oh, no, they're both born in Margate. The one who's the wicketkeeper. Essex responded with 488. Firoz Cushy, using a normal-sized bat this week, he got 107. And Nick Brown, he's in the runs. He got 184. Again, they lost day three to the weather, and the hosts finished up on 131 for two. Annie, Essex, what start to the season?
Yeah, they're really, really, really looking good, aren't they? I mean, in fact, they're tying with Surrey at the moment and Cushy. I mean, what a player he looks, and they'll be delighted with his batting. And Brown, he's been fantastic for ages, hasn't he? But I mean, I think they look really strong, and they're bowling too. So all round good side at the moment.
Yeah, he's not easy on the eye, Nick Brown, but he gets runs.
Yeah.
That's what he's about, isn't it? That's what he's about. Rumble, you're a man who might have one eye on the game. Last game of the season, Essex versus Surrey.
Yeah.
What a finale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think it'll be tight by then?
I do, and I think actually on paper that in many ways they look like a better side than Surrey. I'm going to get in ahead of Annie and mention that I got Cushy into my cricket draft team this week. The Lancashire weren't playing. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did. But they do. They look a very, very strong side on paper. I really like Jordan Cox there in the middle order. I think that was a really good signing for them. And I think I still think that given his youth and all the skills that he's got, I would be surprised if he doesn't find his way in and around England in the future. I do think he's got a hell of an amount of talent, but they are looking like a complete side at the moment. I think it's going to be very, very tight if they keep playing this way.
Yeah, it's a tale of two wicket keepers there who left Kent, isn't it? Ollie Robinson, Jordan Cox. They also a few years ago had Sam Billings. He's not playing Red Bull cricket down at Kent. And, they've got the lad from Sussex coming, Harry Finch. Harry, Durham, a lot of people tip them for outside chances of the title. I don't think they're going to win the title, but top four, do you reckon?
Yeah, they've not done quite as well as people hoped, did they? I think they'll struggle for top four, to be honest. You've seen Callum Parkinson get five for slightly surprised me. He did go for 131, but I thought it would be Potts and Cass that would be doing... getting the wickets, basically, and rain, really. I thought they would be the main men taking the wickets for Durham. I think they've not fully fired yet, you thought, on the April Duke's wickets. But I think someone like Nick Brown just nullifies that. He saw off the opening bowlers, and
he really
I think
did.
Brown's a class act. But I've got my opening partner for university was a big Essex fan, and he's been popping up, chatting to me today and saying, oh, Nick Brown's not good enough, he bats too slowly, should be playing two, shouldn't play. He's bemoaning them not getting... because they were on 370 after 110 overs, and he's bemoaning them not getting the last two batting bonus points and then pushing for a win. But I think that's a bit harsh. And I think with the weather, it would have been hard for Essex to force a win against this Durham side, aren't poor enough for Essex to beat him inside 3.5 days.
Yeah, right. Let's go. Edgbaston, Nottinghamshire, 400 exactly. Ben Duckett, 218. There was five there for the man with the poshest name in cricket, although Jack Brooks told us he's not that posh because he's from Halifax. Oliver Hannan-Dalby. Warwickshire responded 361, 93 there for Jacob Bethel. I really like the look of this lad. He's got a beautiful cover drive on him. There was just enough time in the game for Nottinghamshire to get 73 for one, and it was probably the most boring thing that's come out of Birmingham since Crossroads. So there you go. Let's go to Rumble, and, just because basically you've got a much stronger beard than I have. And Ben Duckett.
What can you say about that? He's motoring, isn't he? I think he said that it was his favourite innings for Notts, 218 and 264 balls, showing his quality. And that's exactly what we want. Unfortunately, we've got a little while to wait until the Test Series comes along, but hopefully he's going to feature for England in the white ball stuff. Whatever form he can be in, be comfortable and confident, I'm all for it.
He didn't do so well in his second innings, though. Hey, he only got seven.
Yeah, you can't have everything. Hannan-Dalby got him, and Hannan-Dalby obviously had a pretty good match of it as well. So yeah.
Jacob Bethel, have you seen much of him?
Yeah, rugby school educated Bajan lad. I remember seeing him on loan at Gloucester. I was up watching Somerset against Gloucestershire, and they had three loanees. Is a quiz question for a few years' time. Brad Weil was one of them. Jacob Bethel was one of them, and the lesser spotted bald head, which really surprised me, Zach Chappell, who I'll talk about in the Division 2 roundup later on. They're all playing for Gloucestershire that day. And I didn't realise Zach Chappell was bald. But I think he'd just shaved his hair off. And I thought, oh, I didn't realise that. But Jacob Bethel, career best 93 today. Ollie Stone getting him against his old club, of course, is a nice little line in there. But Jacob Bethel's a class act. I think he's going to be more of a white ball player, if I'm honest. But he can bowl, he can bat. And I think he's an exciting those expressive middle-order talents that Warwickshire have got a few of, and I think he's going to do a lot in white ball cricket particularly, maybe get on the fringes of England in a couple of years.
He was in the England under-19 side that made the World Cup final in 2022, and I remember watching that, and I was impressed with him. I think he is a class talent. I think he's sort of in and around, like Roo, who was also part of that side. I think he is a talent to watch for the future. Perhaps not as precociously talented as Rue, but definitely one to keep an eye on.
He's got a beautiful cover drive on him. He's a really pretty player. There are questions about whether he can handle the short ball, but let's see how he gets on. He's only young. Time's on his side.
I just want to quickly say because Notts played Somerset last week, and I was very pleased that Duckett wasn't playing. but also really, really pleased that Hamid, in his second innings, got 41 not out, because he just hasn't troubled the scorer much at all. So it was good to see.
Played an awful shot of Craig Overton, didn't he?
Oh, at Taunton awful. Last week. Yeah.
Good to see Ahmad Jamal for Warwickshire. I think that's a good signing. Really impressed with him in the Test series down under. He got 40 with the bat. He's a proper batter, really. I love seeing seamers who can bat properly. I think he's one to look out for.
Yeah, well, Kent didn't play and neither did Lancashire. So they're propping up the table. Lancashire on 24 points, Kent on 26. Hampshire then 31 points. Who'd have thought that? Nottinghamshire 43, Worcestershire 45, Durham 50, Somerset 53, Warwickshire 55. And then at the top, equal on 71 points, are Surrey and Essex. And I think they are starting to, you know, make a little bit of a gap there in the table. It's starting to move away. Surrey aren't playing next week, though. Week off. I don't know about Essex. I can't remember. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this lies, especially after the first eight groups in the end of May.
Somerset are playing Essex next week. Yeah, Friday, starting on Friday. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the other interesting thing to see is that Durham are below Somerset in the table, even though they've won a game and Somerset haven't won any. So it's quite interesting to see that. Shows what the points, what points
for a draw. Yeah. Talk about positive results. Well, a draw can be a positive result, but we'll start at Bristol in Division 2, where they potentially got closest to a result. I actually talked about Sam Dalling doing his County Cricket Natters talking points, isn't he? So I've talked about Marchant de Lange for the talking points for this week. So you can see my 2 minutes waxing lyrical about him on there. But the brief version is he got 6 for 49 and he's a lovely, lovely bloke. So great to see him back fit. There's some great stories I could tell you about him, which I'll save for the YouTube video. But big man and great to see him back in the wickets. The Gloucestershire first innings, middle order really bailed them out. Miles Hammond and Graham Van Buren both with decent 50s, but 322 all out. Trying to judge where this game was going to go. Was it going to be a high-scoring draw? Was there going to be a chance of result? If a bit more play today or yesterday, potentially they'd have forced it through. But interestingly, it was Middlesex's second innings. 449 for 7 declared. Off only 96 overs as well. They scored at a fairly decent rate. Ryan Higgins with another 100. More fantasy points for me, captain and my team.
And for me.
Yeah. Him and Max Holden had a big partnership. Oh, everyone did. We're too similar. Max Holden with 100 and Gloucestershire, when they eventually shook hands, 127 for 3. So, Ollie Price, 52 not out. I was due to play against his younger brother on Saturday. Will Price is the captain of Exeter University Seconds, and we went all the way down to Topsham, and I was the man talking to Price Jr., trying to work out whether we could play on this wicket. It's so wet in the middle. Lovely flat ends, but covers had leaked. So that was a bit of a shocker. But Dan, you spent a bit of time watching the Prices and Gloucestershire. What were your thoughts on this game at Bristol?
Yeah, well, if Will Price is as polite as his two older brothers, I'm sure you had a very, very nice conversation, because they're good lads. It's a game that I'm probably quite glad I wasn't at, really, or working on, because obviously being a Middlesex fan who's worked for Gloucestershire, you know, I've got divided loyalties there. I think it was, again, rain ruined. Yeah. It sounds like it's one of those Bristol wickets, so it just gets better and better as the game goes on. And it's very, very hard to take 20 wickets at Bristol. I wouldn't say it's a pudding, but it doesn't really have that much carry, and it's quite easy paced and gets easier and easier as the game goes on. But take nothing away from Ryan Higgins returning to his old county. You know, he probably had a point to prove as well, so he'll be pleased with that. But yeah, I mean, both sides have ended up with a draw out of it, and you know, with the way it's going at the moment, with the weather and with the amount of draws around, no one's really pulling away and no one's really marooned at the bottom. So it's all still quite tight there in Division 2.
It's good to see Middlesex getting some batting points, getting batting and a decent batting again, because they really had a bad season with the bat last year.
Yeah, there's no Sam Robson at the moment. I think he's come back. He got 100 in the second 11 game, so there's no Sam Robson. But obviously we were working in a Middlesex-related box at the Oval because I had Roland Butcher, I had Kevin James.
Ricky Elcock.
And we also had Ricky Elcock as well. Mm. So rumours that the JM Finn stand at the Oval is now the ST Finn stand are unconfounded.
Yeah, that's a good point you make. Sam Robson, I think, is a quality player. Fernandez came in and got his 100 straight away. I mean, Holden, I thought, was more of a white ball whacker, but he got 111. Deploy is obviously going to come in, and Higgins, you can't not play Ryan Higgins. He's the star man. Eskenazi seemed a little bit low at six. I mean, Rumble, is there any way Robson can get in that side? Are you going to have to drop Mark Stoneman? Surely not. I don't know how he gets in.
Yeah, and you're right. He is class. It's difficult. They're going to have a bit of a shuffle around. Difficult to know immediately who they're going to drop to get him back in. I mean, how old is Robson now? He must be, is he 33, 34?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Must be around that, yeah.
Getting
yeah,
I on. Think he, get, I think he's 35, actually.
And Stoneman must be similar. So it sort of, there's a few aging players in the Middlesex team. It's nice that you've got a few young ones in there, like the Careys coming in, but they're sort of, you know, at the wrong end of the order. So I think Middlesex are going to have to think what they're going to do about their opening partnership over the winter, perhaps, because these guys are not going to go on forever.
Yeah, they've tried to blood Fernandez. Fernandez is 19 from Harrow, and they've tried to blood him in the side, but I think he would probably make way for Sam Robson, because Sam Robson does the business year in, year out, and, you know, I think he's superb.
So let's move on to Headingley, where I get fed up of people watching the County Championship and just talking about England players all the time, as if it's just a breeding ground. How's Crawley getting on? How's Duckett getting on? Yeah. I want to just enjoy cricketers playing in the County Championship. You don't watch the Premier League just watching Bellingham or Kane, but neither of them even playing it anymore, but you get the idea. So I'm going to have to mention them. Adam Live got 97, former England man, of course, and then Root and Brook, big partnership, both getting hundreds. Mm. So they dominated the scorecard for Yorkshire, eventually declaring. And actually, Root and Brook then combined for wickets as well. Root got three for, Matt Fisher got four for. Great to see Matt Fisher back. Remember, he played in the West Indies in the Test Series. So he's one to look out for. Him, Potts, Jamie Oveson are probably all fighting for that third, fourth seamer role, potentially with a few other names. Ollie Stone we see back. There's plenty I can name that might be pushing for Test cricket later this summer. But another draw. But, you know, what are your thoughts, Annie, on these England guys coming in and dominating Division 2?
Well, all I can say is that, you know, they had a bad round last round, and I think I think the County Championship has played them back into form, quite frankly.
Like it. we shouldn't forget Derbyshire, 447 all out. Madsen, another 100. Guest, 75. Aniron Donald just missing out on 97. But for me, I was quite excited. I love Zach Chappell. 78 off 61 balls, 8 fours and 4 sixes. He's another fantasy pick fave of mine, bowls and bats. What are your thoughts on Zach Chappell, Rumble, or Dan, do you want to come in on this?
It's one I didn't see a huge amount of. I have to say, every time Wayne Madsen gets a scorer, I love that. He's such a county stalwart.
He's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, I think we just have to, you know, prelude his name with the great Wayne Madsen from now on, because he, you know, it means so much to people. I think he's so respected on the circuit that actually everyone gets a bit of a glow when Wayne Madsen does well.
Yeah, he should be WG Madsen, shouldn't he?
I think so. I think so. And, you know, Derbyshire probably didn't show their quality with the ball and allowed Root and you know, others to make scores there. I think Annie's got something in that they did play themselves back into form a bit. Yeah. I do wonder, it's funny, isn't it? Because obviously, you know, they had those rounds with the Kookaburra where, you know, they didn't do so well and everybody else did. And this round they've sort of found their form. And it must be an adjustment, mustn't it? When you're used to playing on the best wickets in the world against the fastest bowlers in the world, or, you know, the bowlers who really challenge you, and then you come back into county cricket and it's, the conditions are different, the weather's completely different, the bowling pace is different, and they're having to readjust, and obviously they have now adjusted and are making enormous scores. but it must be a bit of a shock to the system. I saw a wonderful photo Today, I think it was of Joe Root, and he had this snood over his head. In fact, it looked like he had two snoods over his head. So, yeah, not the conditions that he might be used to.
Yeah, Zach Chappell is a very nice chap, actually, very good lad. Matt Fisher, he is absolute quality. If they can get him on the park and play regularly, you know, he can get back into the England side. But he's got to get out on the park. He's had an injury, you know, problem, which looks absolutely awful. But, yeah, he's a quality act.
Right, and last but by no means least, we're off to Grace Road, where a couple of Somerset links, Annie and I are particularly excited about. George Bartlett, great to see him back in the runs. 126 not out. He missed one of the games, but with Karen Knight at number four, George Bartlett number five, I've got a great story for this one. I'm player coach at Wembden in Bridgewater, and when a few Afghanistan lads come, the lads have just moved to Bridgewater from Afghanistan a few months back, keen to play some cricket, not speaking much English, but I tried to have a bit of chat about cricket with them. Don't know much about the county championship, but one of them rocks up the second week in a 2019 one-day cup shirt with Bartlett on the back. Absolutely loved it. Oh, it made my night. The lad steamed in. He didn't know his first name was George. Didn't know anything about George Bartlett. Never heard of him. But someone had given him this shirt and he was wearing it. And I said to him, you've got to wear that every week now, mate. And I absolutely loved it. So good to see him back in the runs. Another Somerset man, Ben Green. He's on loan at Leicestershire. He batted nine last week. And another podcast I do, Ian Shepherd, the Brightside Life podcast host. We were sat on the, well, stood on the balcony, actually, the lovely view looking down from the thatches, the top of the microscopic pavilion, and we were trying to watch Somerset Notts whilst also on Ben Green watch. He's not batted five, he's not batted six, he's not batted seven. He used to open for Somerset in Division One. How is he batting this low for Leicestershire at the bottom of Division Two?
Sorry, anyhow, sorry. Can I interrupt here? How have we turned Leicestershire versus Northamptonshire into a summer? I mean, you're worse than Sam Delling, Harry.
No, only occasionally. Well, you. This is an outrage. Ben Green is not a number nine back. Come on. Anyone who knows county cricket knows that's a disgrace. But he got up to number eight this week. So fair play to him. He's actually impressed. Got up to number eight. He got 34. But what I want to talk about from the Leicestershire innings is, I don't know how to word it, Peter Hanscom in the 90s to ages. Oh, no. I was trying to follow it this afternoon. 99 he got to, and then he got run out. Ben Sanderson bowled beautifully, but Annie, what can we say about Peter Hanscom run out for 99?
Poor Hanscom. I didn't actually see it, so was it whose fault was it?
Yeah, that's up for debate. Let's
given the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Okay.
You wouldn't wish that on your worst enemy, would you? Anyone being run out?
No. But I will say this. He has had a really good time since he's been to Leicestershire. And it's really nice to see, because he didn't have a great time, let's face it, at Middlesex, did he?
And Leicestershire looking good so far in Division Two. I think they are just about top of the table now, but as Dan mentioned earlier, it's very tight. I think there's about 5 points between the top four teams. But I like what they're doing. I like the initiatives that Sean Jarvis at Leicestershire is you know, coming out with constantly, and I like the grand plans that they have. Obviously, everyone really enjoyed the One Day Cup final last year.
Yes.
And I'd like to see them in Division One. It's still, you know, some way to go. But yeah, I've got certainly a soft spot for Leicestershire. I'd like to see them do well.
Yeah. Can we just, are we allowed to mention Ahmed? Because he's an England player, Harry.
I was going to mention that. I shouldn't brush over all the England players doing well. No, nice to see him get 85 with a bat.
Yeah.
I think he's going to turn into a batting all rounder, to be honest with you. I think the more the years go on, I think he might bowl less. He did get 2 for 64. He did bowl 20 overs in the first innings. But back on Sean Jarvis, I just want to mention what a lovely bloke he is. I used to commentate on Huddersfield Town. I was fortunate that I was up there doing my sports journalism degree when they were in the Premier League. So I got to work at the club on placement and got to know Sean Jarvis very well. And the work he's doing there is absolutely brilliant. Getting the community involved. And I mean, it's really positive time signs for Leicestershire. And we've got to also shout out their ground staff. What an incredible effort.
I know.
Pitch on day three, it's like the Taunton Deane Viary Park Lake. You could be boating on it like you can at New Road. Mental that they then played again today. I mean, it probably suited Ben Sampson's bowling, a little bit of wetness in the pitch to get four foot. But fair play to the Leicestershire guys.
I think the head groundsman there is Andy Ward. So shout out to Andy Ward and his team, because I agree it was, you know, it didn't look good from the photos that were floating around on social media. So for them to get back on, yeah, good effort.
Yeah, that's a great effort from you as well to know the name. I don't think I know the name of all 18 ground staff. I know a couple, but that's a great knowledge.
And Andrew Rad put up a photo of it and it looked horrendous. And I did ask him if they'd put a sign up saying no diving, no kissing, no heavy petting on there. So
no ducks.
No, but big shout out to Ben Sanderson. I believe that's his 500th Northamptonshire wicket. And what a competitor. An absolute warrior that guy is. And I think he's fantastic. He's fantastic for the county game. Going back to Rehan Ahmed as well. If County's got cold, what do you have got in the England side? Because he didn't get the gig at Nottinghamshire. He's a Nottingham lad. Didn't get the gig at Nottinghamshire, so he's gone to the next county geographically to Nottinghamshire. Well, one of them. Gone to Leicestershire. And he's got his opportunity. Now, if Leicestershire were one of those counties that got cold, would Rehan Ahmed be in the England side? Probably not.
No, definitely.
And I think that's the concern with the whole structure. No one wants to see these county pathways fail. And they are so important. And you never know when these players are going to pop up. And Rehan Ahmed's just one of many examples of really talented, promising players coming through. And you never know which one is going to sort of break through that glass ceiling. And it would be a disaster for the game to lose any of them. So, you know, we all have to keep an eye on that and make sure it doesn't happen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I put an interesting tweet out earlier on today, actually, about the 100 possibly being moved to April because, you know, the 100, like it or not, and I don't like it, but it's here to stay. Yeah, they've got a deal till 2028, so it's going to be here till 2028. And I put a tweet out there that said, shouldn't we move it to April? Because if the design of the 100 is to hook in youngsters, no clubs have a junior section in August or September. So surely it should be played in April. And people going, no, it's too wet, it's too cold. Well, what about the bloody county championship?
I think you made a great point, massively point, because, yeah, I agree. Like, I coach a lot of different youth teams, and a lot of them want to do Friday nights because they make the bar money, but it's meant to be April. A lot of them have been washed.
I'm sorry,
out,
I've made May, this June, point July. Many times for many years. It should be the anyway. We're not talking about the 100. We are talking about county championship
Division 2.
Yeah.
Yes, Division 2. So next week, the only three games reduced schedule next week. Only five games across both divisions. So Derbyshire, Sussex, Middlesex, Leicestershire, and Yorkshire Glamorgan are the three Division 2 games. So at the moment, Leicestershire top of the table. I know I rudely said bottom of Division 2 earlier, but Leicestershire and Northamptonshire, after that big old chat on them, that they are the top two sides, believe it or not. We're talking about Hampshire and Lancashire. How are they in the bottom three in Division 1? I love it when we're four games in and we've still got upsetting the apple cart.
Yeah. I think, just going back to the whole weather thing, it's been a really, really cold, wet, damp, just generally horrible start to the season, and just brilliant that we've had some results and we've had some good games and we've had some play and some really fabulous scores and records and things like that. So fair play like to everyone that's got everything going, including those poor umpires at Kidminster with their snoods
and the black gloves. I enjoyed that. The black finger of death comes up, you think,
What's been interesting, though, is, you know, despite the Duke's ball coming back and we're now in the second round of that, we're still seeing some monster scores.
Yeah, we really are.
I mean, Essex 488, Notts 400, Worcestershire 451, Middlesex 449, Yorkshire 450, and Derbyshire 447. So the ball doesn't seem to matter. It's still batting paradise in April, despite the weather.
I've got a theory. It's too cold for the ball to swing.
Seriously.
Yeah. I think that it needs to heat up for the ball to actually move through the air. Yeah. It's nipping around off the pitch, but through the air, I think it might be too cold for it to swing.
Which goes back to Abbas and Abbott struggling, and different bowlers doing well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, that's our thoughts on the round just gone, and we'll be back next week for, round four?
Five.
Is it round five already? I mean.
And the sun's not come out yet.
No. So round five already next week. So we'll be back. And thank you to WG for your brilliant interjections. And thank you to Dan and to Harry.
Thanks for having me on. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats. And we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests. Cricket, 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 cricket.
Social Podcast Network.